Protests for racial justice and police reform call on local governments to be on the forefront of change. The protests and their demands have persisted for over a month now. Some city governments are taking the demands more seriously than others. In Beaverton, local activists find their city's response frustrating and have decided to do something about it. The Sunrise Movement is most commonly known for its involvement in the fight for climate justice and that it involves a lot of young organizers. The Sunrise Hub in Beaverton is organizing an open mic on Thursday, July 2nd to give the community an opportunity to voice their concerns around racial justice and changes to the police force that are not being heard elsewhere. I spoke with one of Sunrise Beaverton's organizers, Pedro, to learn more. Can you tell me a little bit about Sunrise Beaverton and how you got involved?
Yeah, so I've been living in Beaverton now for 5 years, and last year I came across some people striking in front of City Hall. It was a climate strike, and I like rolled up because, I don't know, living here in Beaverton, but like working in Portland and having friends and community in Portland, I just was kind of wrapped up with the scene over there and kind of thought of Beaverton as this like sleepy suburban area outside of Portland. So it was really exciting for me to see some action, especially concerning climate here in Beaverton. So I got in touch with one of the hub coordinators at this climate strike, and I've been involved ever since.
And so I understand Sunrise Beaverton is holding a community open mic regarding police accountability on Thursday. What's the motivation for setting that up?
Well, a couple of things. We felt like, especially this like quarantine season, I would say that there's been a really like slow public response by the city government on a lot of issues. In the past, in the beginning of like quarantine, we've hosted this conversation called the Beaverton Here and Now. And we had some community organizations talking about their response to the pandemic and how their work's been affected. And there were some grassroots organizations that were there. And a lot of like really encouraging stuff happening here within the community. And yeah, like I said, the public response has been really, or the city government's response here has been really slow and lacking in our opinion. So the Beaverton open mic conversation came about with this little like back and forth with the city government. We called in support of Lacey Beatty's A Can't Wait proposal and talked about that being the first step in needing to move on to conversations around the police budget. The police here get $36.7 million out of our general fund. And we feel like if we reinvested some of that money into our communities, that we could provide care for each other here that does not include like arms police officers. So after that, there was some conversation with city officials who spoke at an event that happened at the Beaverton Library on Juneteenth. And it was really, really lackluster from both the mayor, Denny Doyle, and one of our city council members, Kate Arnold. And when we approached the mayor later about our concerns with It Can't Wait not passing, he asked us to just speak more about it at the city council meeting that next Tuesday. Turns out there was no public comment on city council that next Tuesday. So a couple of us got together with Sunrise and some other community organizers to pressure city council to open up public comments. We finally did get them to add public comment to the agenda. And again, another outpouring of the community spoke specifically around like SROs in our schools, defunding the police and, all of these issues. And there was even people there talking about the need for a disability advisory board. And then to our disappointment, the mayor and the council president just jumped into the consent agenda without any recognition of any of the comments that were made. Our city officials are really hard to get in contact with. Lacey mm-hmm. Beatty's been the only one that responds to any messages or responds with the intention of hearing us out, even if there is distance between where we stand and where she stands. Our city council's been very dismissive of claims of systemic issues here, and they don't have their contact information publicly available. They don't have social media pages that we could reach out. So yeah, we're trying to like elevate the community's voice in a way that is like confrontational to our city officials, because they do seem to just be hiding. The mayor specifically said that we can't keep hiding on this issue anymore, and that this issue is like a freight train, which kind of shows like where they are on these systemic issues, to describe it as a freight train and not like the community mourning for our brothers and sisters throughout the country. And here, like especially with like ICE activity in Hillsborough, and just the systemic issues that are very real here in Beaverton. So we just feel like we need to provide a platform for the community to speak on not just police accountability, but imagining possible futures with more accountability and more justice. The city council is not meeting this week, so when we like mulled that over within Sunrise, we just thought that there's a lot of untapped comments here within the city, within the community members, and we just wanted to provide a platform for people to speak up around all of these issues.
A quick footnote here, Pedro mentioned the 8 Can't Wait campaign. 8 Can't Wait is a project of Campaign Zero, a group which advocates for the end of police brutality in America. It sprung up out of the first wave of Black Lives Matter protests in Ferguson, Missouri in 2014. 8 Can't Wait refers to 8 police reform measures that have the potential to drastically reduce police violence. Around the country, towns and cities have adopted these reforms, though many advocates for racial justice in policing stress that it's only the beginning. The 8 reforms include banning chokeholds and strangleholds, requiring police to attempt to de-escalate a situation before resorting to violence, and requiring police to give a warning before shooting someone. The reforms would also make sure that police exhaust all their options for dealing with the situation before using their gun. Another critical reform would give cops a duty to intervene, meaning if a fellow cop is using excessive force, their colleagues must step in and report it. The measures would ban cops from shooting at moving vehicles and create a use of force continuum. That means there would be stricter rules about what kind of force police officers can use in response to different levels of resistance. 8 Can't Wait also asks for a comprehensive reporting requirement, so cops have to report every time they use force or threaten to use it against a civilian. That's 8 Can't Wait. Let's jump back in. Could you speak to 8 Can't Wait a little bit?
Yeah, well, one of our council members proposed 8 Can't Wait, and we understand that 8 Can't Wait is like a necessary first step, but also a baby step in the fight for racial justice, and we wanted to like get 8 Can't Wait passed and out of the way so we can start talking about bigger issues with policing and racial justice in this community. And as common sense as 8 Can't Wait is, it still has not passed our city government. And there was a lot of back and forth about like the use of force and why cops need to be able to shoot at moving vehicles and things of that nature. So really like 8 Can't Wait's only a first step, but when we talk about community care and how, I guess I'm thinking back to like a conversation I had with Kate Arnold at the Juneteenth event, and asking her about defunding the police, and how year after year that I've lived here, the Beaverton School District has been asked to go through budget cuts. And we have those conversations like as if they're necessary things and something that has to happen, but we never bring that same energy to the police departments. And what we understand now with the COVID pandemic is that this isn't just like an issue concerning health, but this will soon become an issue concerning our economy. And what I'm really worried about is that we're going to ask, again, all of our public services to go through budget cuts again, but we still are not looking at the police budgets.
I know lots of folks who are familiar with the Sunrise Movement might know Sunrise to be most focused on climate justice. What is that connection between climate justice and police accountability? Or put another way, why is Sunrise involved?
Yeah, I'm really glad you answered that. Personally, I've been like climate aware from a very, very young age, and I'm so happy that the climate movement, especially with Sunrise and groups like Extinction Rebellion, that we've evolved from single issues, or that we evolved from these individual issues like saving the polar bears and saving monarch butterflies, but we have a more vast scope on what justice actually looks like. We understand that we cannot fight for climate justice without also fighting for racial justice, because it's people of color and communities of the global South that are on the front lines of climate chaos. And yeah, I'm just really glad that the scope has enlarged on those issues. When I was first involved with like policy stuff and stuff with like NGOs around climate, it really was around those individual issues. And it just was so frustrating to try to be a part of, because I remember like it was November of 2016. We were building up to the election. Trump had gotten elected, and we were trying to like organize people around invasive species of grass. And being like a first generation American, and like my uncle got deported later that year, it was just so hard to like live with that in my identity, and also being so concerned around climate and not seeing the sense of urgency within this organization, specifically concerning those like individual issues. And we need to have like this broader analysis of justice at the center of what we do, so that as we build the future that we want, we do not replicate the harms in our current society and are instead a part of the process of healing that comes with this type of work.
Right. The issues are not mutually exclusive.
Exactly.
So if listeners are interested in participating in the open mic or listening to the Beaverton community on these issues, what's the best way for them to do that?
Okay, so I would highly encourage people to speak out and have their voices heard on this platform. We have a bit.ly, so that's bit.ly/BeavertonOpenMic, and that'll send you to the form, the participation form. There's also a YouTube link in that form for people to watch, like I guess a little promo video that we pulled together for this. And we are going to be live streaming the conversation on our Facebook page, which is Sunrise Beaverton. So I would highly encourage people to check out that bit.ly link. One more time, that's bit.ly/BeavertonOpenMic, or check us out on Facebook.
Pedro, do you have any closing thoughts before we wrap up?
Here in Beaverton, we find that sometimes the media coverage is lacking. So I want to like thank you for covering this issue. Sometimes we feel like it's lacking because we're so close to Portland or whatever's going on in the the state and with the house there. But whenever I'm in the community, either at the farmer's market, the grocery store, or on the max, people are so willing to engage on these crucial topics, whether it's, ADA issues or climate justice or racial justice. And I feel like there's so much untapped potential here within our community. And part of that has to do with the media coverage too. So yeah, thank you for covering this event. And I really hope that this drives some of the engagement with our event tomorrow.
That was Pedro with the Sunrise Movement in Beaverton, talking about the connection between climate justice, racial justice, and police accountability. Sunrise Beaverton will be hosting an open mic on Thursday, July 2nd. More information on the open mic is available at bit.ly/BeavertonOpenMic. The event will be live streamed on the group's Facebook page. For KBOO News In Depth, I'm Althea Billings.